Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text is what was just read. 171 years ago to this day, and almost on this spot, Friedrich Winneken, a 28-year-old young pastor from Hanover, pointed his horse forth into what was then the dense forests and swamps of Indiana and Michigan, and rode forth on a missionary journey that would take him across the whole top of the first third of the state of Indiana, some of Michigan, and eventually into Ohio and Illinois on later journeys. Not too long after that journey, he was in a general store looking very eagerly at a tailor who was cutting out a bolt of English leather, a very stout and very comfortable piece of leather, one that would hold up especially on these hard rides that he had to put forth in. As he looked at it, the tailor said to him, "Why, if you want some of this, I have plenty. You can have it." He said, "Well, I can't take it from you." He said, "Why not?" "Well, then I wouldn't be able to scold you for being a Romanist and a drunkard." The tailor kind of chuckled and laughed a little bit and said, "It's a gift. Scold me all you like." So he took it out and had it made into a very comfortable pair of pants. So comfortable that he wore it into the pulpit at St. Paul Lutheran Church downtown and to Zion Lutheran Church in Friedheim. His parishioners, being good Lutherans, were aghast. And even though it was a time of great economic depression, they put together $70, a near fortune in that day. And an elder proudly came to Winneken and said, "Here, Pastor, go and get yourself some proper preacher's clothes." As he was on his way out the door, a widow came up to him in great distress. Her property was about to be taken from her, and she could hardly feed her family as was. And so Winneken gave her the $70 and cheerfully went on his way. Well, as the days wore on and the yellow pants were still there, the parishioners began to ask the elder what he had done with the $70. And so the elder walked down the street with Winneken one day and asked when his suit of clothes would be done. He says, "Oh, it won't." He says, "Why not?" He says, "Well, I gave the money away." Well, the elder is beside himself and they're arguing all their way past the general store. The tailor leans out the window and says, "Could you come in for a moment?" He says, "Why?" He says, "We have to fit you for some clothes. I have to fit somebody for some clothes out in the bush. And you're just about the same size and weight." And so as he was going in, a courier came up to Winneken and gave him a letter from his relatives in Germany with some money. So he turned to the elder and said, "See you, scoffer, God can take care of his people." And as he went in to the tailor said, how does these clothes fit?" He says, "Oh, very well." He says, "They would make a fine preacher's uniform, would they not?" He said, "Oh, yes, they would, but I could never afford something like that." He said, "Well, you can and will. They're already paid for." And as he turned around, he couldn't find the yellow pants any longer. You see, Winneken was one of those rare kinds of Christians, and Lutherans to boot, who held possessions very loosely. As a matter of fact, some of his relatives caught on and they put things in his wife's name eventually so he wouldn't give them away. He was one who knew, but the Pharisees did not, that God wanted us to take care of each other, our neighbors, and to serve him and him alone. The Pharisees, you see, were all about status. In the chapter prior to this, we had the three lost parables, which didn't seem to move them one little bit. They didn't want to have anything to do with those sinners who couldn't follow all the rules of etiquette and halakha, which they had made up to extend God's law well past its boundaries. They didn't want to have anything to do with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. You know, like the people that Jesus called to be his disciples. And so when Jesus told them, what their problem was, that they could not serve both God and money, they scoffed at him, and they said to him all kinds of things. Jesus' reply basically was, well, just go on trying to make yourself righteous. After all, people are bursting down the doors of the kingdom to get in. They know what's going on, that God, by his grace, is giving the kingdom to those who respond in faith. You see, you really can't serve both God and money, although sometimes I think we really want to try. We really do enjoy and find pleasurable all of the gifts and the blessings which God has given us. And sometimes we mistake that to mean that these things really do belong to us, and that they're there for our security, for our retirement package, perhaps, for taking care of maybe adding the latest iPod or the latest iPhone to our collection, maybe going out and buying a Kindle rather than using the well-worn books acquired by your seminary. That's a commercial. Or other such things. After all, God gave them to us, so shouldn't we depend upon them? Shouldn't we rely on them? And if not them, shouldn't we rely on our government to take care of us, to provide our pension, maybe our health care, maybe other things? And if we do, and things go well, doesn't that mean we must be shrewd managers of money, really good and adept at managing to surf even the way through the latest economic crisis? Shouldn't we just enjoy ourselves, sit back, relax, because we've earned it? The answer is, well, no. Because God didn't just give us things just so that we could have them and enjoy them. Not that having things are wrong, nor that enjoying them necessarily is wrong. What God wants us to do is to hold our possessions loose in our hands so that when a need presents itself, we can fulfill that need as a sign of God's love and mercy to others. So that when someone is poor, Jesus tells us, feed him. If he is in prison, visit him. If he is naked, clothe him. And whatever it takes so that they might be comfortable in this world. The big problem with relying on the goods that God gives us is pretty soon the things we want become something that we really need. So that what looked like a good idea, maybe I'll get a cell phone so, you know, when I'm out on the road, I might be able to call in an emergency, soon becomes something that you absolutely have to have. If you were cut off from the world, what would you do if you couldn't get that last stock ticker and know what was happening this second? Wouldn't that mean that you couldn't respond to your ministry? Very soon, the things we have become something that we absolutely have to have. And if they fail, and they will, all things on earth rust or decay, all things are spent, food is eaten or goes bad, the things in our life sooner or later go, and even the greatest treasures, our own relatives and family, our beloved wives and children, our beloved grandparents, sooner or later are called into God's kingdom, and sometimes, and even more often than not, before we are. If we depend upon the things of these worlds as if they were God and serve them as if they were our masters, then sooner or later we are bound to be left bereft when the sands shift and the house falls, and great will be the fall thereof. That is why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet became poor for our sake. You see, he knew what we would do. He knew that we would likely depend upon the things of this world. And so he came to die for us. He left all that he had in creation. God has everything and really deserves to have everything. And yet, because he loves us, left it all there, set it aside, and became a man for us. and even having become a man, went the way of the cross for us. He gave up even his own righteousness so that we might be righteous, took our sins so that that sin could be paid for once and for all, gave up his life though he was the author of life so that we might live, and having died on the cross and risen from the dead, brought us to life again in his own resurrection. And because he did all of that, we will live with him forever, so that the things we really do need, we have already. And so, we can now serve freely. After all, the worst that can happen to us is we enter into eternal life with Christ our Lord, which is pretty good, I would think. So we do not have to worry whether we have our possessions or not. We can enjoy them while they're here and give them away as need be, even cheerfully so, because we know we are in the hands of God. And so we can go off readily to serve God and our neighbors. And so as Fritz Winneken was, a man holding his possessions loose in our hands, so we also can go forth into the world holding our own possessions loose in our hands, so that God might be served and our neighbors cared for his glory. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forever. Amen.